And Smashville, good morning, and thank you for joining us. Welcome back in. It's hour four of Morning Drive here on this Tuesday, ESPN 102.5, The Game. Nikhale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, and Chase McCabe with you, taking you up until 10 o'clock. Chris Mason at the bottom of the hour. But right now, we welcome in Jimmy Dykes, ESPN college basketball analyst, who did the Vols and Bama game this past Saturday on ESPN. Jimmy, good morning. We appreciate a couple of minutes. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm headed your way. I've got the Vols again tomorrow night against Vanderbilt. The last time Tennessee was ranked number one going into Vanderbilt, I did the game with Brad Nessler, and it turned out quite a night for Vanderbilt. So, but this is a very good Tennessee team, as you guys know.
You think the Vols fans know that you did the last game, and they're wishing, like, man, why do you have to do this game again?
That's on them if they think that.
Oh, no, Dykes has to call again.
Jimmy, let me take you back to when he was hired, because I'm fascinated by his evolution. Obviously, listen, he's at Clemson, he comes to Texas, and he wins a bunch of games, but sort of viewed as an underachiever at Texas. Recruited very, very high-level players, Kevin Durant, T.J. Ford, on and on. But sort of viewed as a little bit of an underachiever, had just gotten fired. I think Tennessee, the state of the program was like this massive calamity with all the previous coaches and, you know, bring back Bruce and all this stuff. I think people thought he would stabilize the program, but I don't think anybody anticipated this type of rebuild from him. Just how unexpected is the run that they're on this year and last year with Rick Barnes when you go back to how you viewed the hire when he was brought on, you know, 5 years ago?
Well, I probably have a different view of it because I'm deep in the weeds with these guys, and I knew that Texas's loss was going to be Tennessee's gain because the guy just continues at Texas, went to every NCAA tournament for the most part, and that is so hard to do, and fan bases get spoiled by that, and that's so difficult. And you look at those two programs where they've gone since Rick left Texas, where that program has gone and where Tennessee's program has gone, and I'm not surprised. I'm a little surprised how quickly he's done it because he built it around, as we all know, just guys that want to be coached, want to be driven. They weren't, you know, in that top 100 EYBL circuit in the summer. They weren't catered to during the recruiting process. And he's been so true to who he is, Coach Barnes, over the years in recruiting. This hasn't changed. I was with him last week. We're talking about Tennessee's ability now to get into the door of five-star guys, and he said it doesn't even faze us. We go after guys that fit our culture and our belief and our personality and our DNA, and if they have two stars, that's great. If they have four stars, that's great. It doesn't matter. And that's why that program is so stable. It's not a – he didn't just strike gold because of guys that he inherited and they had a couple of good years. That program is as solid of a program as there is in the SEC right now.
Now, looking at this team, and I've been able to watch the top four or five teams, most notably the Wolverines this past weekend, and I wasn't too impressed, even though I think that they are well coached. Looking at UT, are they, if it's not Duke, are they definitively the best team in the country beside Duke, based upon what you've seen? The depth on this team and their coaching?
Yes, I've been saying for a couple of weeks now, because I guess two weeks ago I had Florida State at Virginia on a Saturday, and then I forget who it was at Tennessee 3 days later, and I walked out of both of those arenas thinking those are the two best teams in the country, and I still believe it. I'm still very strong on Virginia. I mean, they lost by two in Cameron Indoor, and I know Duke didn't have Trey Jones, but they still got the best two players in college basketball on one team, and it came down to a single possession. And I think Tennessee and Virginia right now, to me, on a neutral floor, would be the two most difficult teams to beat. I think Duke is right there behind them. I think Michigan and Michigan State are right there behind those three. And then you open it up to teams like Gonzaga. Kentucky is really coming on. Kansas is still capable. Texas Tech still capable. It's kind of a handful of those teams. North Carolina, when they're tough and defend, they're capable of being one of those teams we look at. But going into tomorrow night's game, and I'll say it again like I did Saturday, the best team in college basketball tonight is the Tennessee Volunteers. But that can change. It can change so quickly with a bad half or a bad game. And honestly, Tennessee, two out of the last three halves of basketball that they played, their last half against Arkansas and their last half the other day against Alabama, have not been good. It's not been the good version of Tennessee. And I'm sure Rick has their attention heading into that game tomorrow night at Vanderbilt.
Jimmy Dykes is joining us here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, Jimmy, you look at the top 11 in the AP, and you see the Carolinas, the Kentuckys, Michigan State, and Duke. You look at the Blue Bloods, and then you have some of the teams, whether it's Tennessee or Michigan or Nevada. Do you feel like right now we're at a point in college basketball where you can make the case that the one-and-done five-star guy is the way to go and win a national title that way? But there's also an equal argument for the teams that go about it where they have guys with seniority, juniors and seniors, upperclassmen, more of that team-oriented, not the lottery pick-type player in the draft. Does it feel like there's an even balance right now as to who could actually win this whole thing when we get to March?
Yeah, yes, it's extremely balanced. And since the NBA age limit came into effect, there's only been two teams that have started one-and-done guys that won the national title. It continues to be a sport that old wins. And our last three national champions, you look at Villanova twice in North Carolina, all those lineups were dominated by upperclassmen, redshirt juniors and seniors. And that's why I'm still hesitant on Duke. I don't know when it gets down to those every possession counts on a neutral floor and they're not in Cameron Indoor, how they're going to respond in some situations that only experience can kind of get you through. And that's right, why right now I like Tennessee, I like Virginia, I like Michigan State, Cassius Winston and Nick Ward. Those are older guys on really well-coached teams. That's why I still like Kentucky in the SEC. You got, for their sake, you know, they got some older guys because they have sophomores and Reed Travis. So, but you never don't take a kid that, as you're recruiting him, you think he may only be here 1 year. I don't think there's I just don't think there's any coach out there that would say, you know what, I know you want to come here, but I'm not going to take you because yeah. I think you'll only be on our campus 1 year. I mean, why would you still not take the very best players you can possibly get and just kind of, you know, try to surround them with veteran kids?
Let's fast forward to March, and Tennessee fans are looking at a bracket, and Tennessee's in the tournament, and they're making a deep run. What is it that you would point to that would be their undoing? I mean, I know Duke has four lottery picks, so let's take that off the table. What is it that could get them beat late in the tournament, Elite Eight, Sweet 16, Final Four? What is it? What is it that Tennessee fans? Because right now it's all hunky dory, it's all, you know, roses, and everybody's great. What is it that you'd be concerned about if you're on Rick Barnes' coaching staff and you're playing in that tournament? What is it that could be their undoing late in the tournament?
Well, they don't have any one area that I say that's how you can beat Tennessee. So I would answer that question by the same way I would answer if you're asking the same question about Duke or Virginia or Michigan or Nevada or whoever could end up there. It's, can they stay healthy? Because that's a huge thing when you get to March. Are you healthy? Do you have all your guys? Do you have your best team available to put on the floor? Does your best team stay on the floor? You don't want to have in a close ball game, Grant Williams can't be on the bench with 4 minutes to go when he's fouled out. And that's happened a couple of times this year. I still think Tennessee, like every other team in college basketball, they're vulnerable just guarding the ball and not getting beat off the bounce. That's not just Tennessee. That's everyone. Every team right now that I watch play, they just have breakdowns on just not staying in front of the ball. So, but in terms of when you break down their film, when you talk to coaches in the SEC about Tennessee, no one right now has the formula to beat Tennessee. It's not like you say, shrink your defense and make them make threes, or pressure them and see if they can drive by you, or just keep on going down the list. That formula is not out there yet. They check all the boxes in terms of how to win games in different styles. They can mismatch you. They can play fast. They can play slow. they're one of those teams in college ball right now that's right there in the top 20, both offensive and defensive efficiencies. And that to me is about as good of a sign of a well-rounded team as you have.
Now, every so often you get a transcendent player. You know, the most notable one, obviously LeBron James. He didn't go to college, went straight to the NBA. You could say Anthony Davis was one of those players. Now we have Zion Williams. Scottie Pippen, the Hall of Famer, comes out and said, well, Zion, he's shown enough that he's going to be the number one player. He should just shut it down. Is that something that you would prescribe to, or is that setting a bad precedent moving forward if indeed Zion chooses to say, you know what, I've proven enough. I don't want to risk injury. I'm going to sit it out for the remainder of the season. I don't think he will do that. I don't think he doesn't come off as that type of kid. But when you start hearing guys that have played at the highest level, guys that are Hall of Famers, start to spew out stuff like that, do you think that's a good thing?
No, not at all. I mean, we all have our opinion on careers and those type of things. Here's my issue with that. And I scouted in the NBA for 3 years before I started working for ESPN, and I'm pretty deep into how those guys think. That would be a big red flag to me if Zion Williamson did that and I have top pick, because you're getting an insight to me on how that kid's wired. And he's not like that. This is a team guy that wants to win, and he has a terrific love for the game. And when you say, you know what, there's 7 weeks to go and I'm stepping away from my team because I'm more concerned about me than anything else in this world, that's a red flag to me in those NBA general manager offices and when they start breaking down what's going on. So that would be my argument back for anyone that considers that you have to also consider how this could possibly kind of gray an area on your resume in terms of how people look at you. And that's how I look at it. Other people might say that's crazy. He's still the best player and the best talent and is going to change the league. Maybe he will. Maybe he will. But I just know that there are a lot of NBA franchises out there that they understand the importance of team and your personality traits and all those things and how critical those are to building an organization. And that's how I would look at it.
Jimmy Dykes, ESPN college basketball analyst. He had the Vols and Bama on Saturday. He has Vols and Vandy tomorrow night on ESPN. Good stuff, Jimmy. We appreciate it. We'll certainly be watching.
Okay, guys. Have a good day. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. Jimmy Dykes. When we come back, we will continue that Zion Williamson discussion. We'll play you the audio from Scottie Pippen, and we'll get into that. But right now is your chance to win a pair of tickets to go to the Tennessee Boat and Fishing Expo at the Wilson County Expo Center from Friday, February 1st. To Sunday, February 3rd. All you have to do right now, just be caller 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 5, you're going to go to the Tennessee Boat and Fishing Expo. Morning Drive rolls on after this on ESPN 102.5 The Game.